Chapter 20. The next day, everybody was back to their regular shapes and sizes, even Bax. First, the doctors had used Bax's usual medicine to flux him from a grain of sand into a boy about an eighth of an inch high. Super tiny Bax. Then Marigold had bigged him back up, just like she had done with everyone else. She was so relieved. In the end, after they saw how good Nori felt, every single student had given her a chance to big them up, even the ones with cranky parents. Except for Lacey Clench, that is. Her father had refused to let Marigold near his daughter. Poor Lacey had to get the shots. All 10 of them. Again. The next morning at school felt strangely normal. Carrot was sitting on the teacher's desk eating an apple Willa had brought her. Nori was clowning around with Elliot. Ms. Starr was getting organized to take roll and do morning announcements. Marigold still felt awful about all the problems she'd caused. For a little while, and for the first time ever, she'd felt so powerful. And she had wanted to bring people together and help the kids have their voices heard. Only, she hadn't stopped to wonder whether she was putting people in danger. And she hadn't known how best to use her power. As a result, she had misused it. On top of that, the students hadn't even won their dreg privileges back. In fact, the only good thing that had come out of all of the mess was Marigold's private conversation with Dr. Garibaldi. She'd learned about how her magic could have uses in medicine, and then about the hospital's junior candy stripers program, the Peppermint Puffs. Candy stripers were high schoolers who volunteered in the hospital to learn about medical careers. Peppermint Puffs were middle schoolers. Marigold's grandparents let Marigold sign up for Peppermint Puffs then and there. She was, therefore, already officially a Peppermint Puff, and her first shift was next week after school. She'd don the red and white striped apron that all the Peppermint Puffs wore, and she'd spend the afternoon volunteering, delivering flowers, running non-medical errands for doctors, reading stories to sick kids, and having conversations with patients who were lonely. Marigold wouldn't get to shrink stuff as a Peppermint Puff, not yet. But maybe she could use her shrinking magic to entertain the kids. Maybe. From deep inside her reverie, Marigold heard someone saying her name. "Yes," Marigold replied. Ms. Starr gestured to the front of the classroom, where Layla stood with her spine resting against the doorframe. "Your tutor is here," Ms. Starr said. Layla waved. Marigold hopped up and joined her, taking her hand and dragging her into the hall. "Where were you?" she demanded. "Ms. Starr and I left an emergency message." "Oh," Layla said. She scratched her nose. "Now that you mention it, I guess I did see Eloise's name on my voicemail, but I didn't have time to listen to it. Was it really an emergency?" "Yes, we had a big problem," said Marigold. "I needed you to regrow us. My bigging up magic wouldn't work, and there were all these kids who were stuck being tiny." "Sorry," said Layla. "I would have helped if I'd known, but I ignore my phone a lot. I have a ton of research and writing to do." Marigold exhaled a big rush of air. What was there to say? She had to face it. Layla would never be the tutor of her dreams. In fact, Layla was pretty self-involved. To be fair, Layla did know how to big things up, and she had taught Marigold how to do it. But strangely enough, the biggest thing Layla taught Marigold was that magic was about more than technique. Magic had to be used responsibly, and Layla, well, Layla was kind of irresponsible. "I tried to unshrink people, but I made them smaller instead," she told Layla at last. "They wouldn't big up. It was because I was tiny. I had to go to the hospital to get big, and then I was able to regrow them." "So you figured it out on your own. Good job," Layla patted Marigold on the back. "I'd like to know why people's magic got small when their bodies were small, though. That's an interesting development. Still, we can't really talk now. I'm actually only here to say that I can't meet today. The boyfriend and I are going on a road trip to the Shakespeare Festival in Owl City." "Oh," Marigold said. All right, then.
But I'll give it some thought and get back to you. Okay, M. Boogie?
Okay.
Ciao, ciao, Layla called as she loped down the hall and disappeared from sight.
Marigold watched her go.
That Layla.
After lunch, Principal Gonzalez rapped on the door of the upside-down magic classroom. He was fully visible. Everyone perked up.
I'd like to speak to Marigold and Nori, please.
Marigold and Nori shot out of their chairs and followed him down the hall.
How are you both feeling today? He asked.
Fine, Nori said. No lasting damage.
He laughed.
Marigold felt her cheeks heat up. She knew she had to be in trouble. Kids had gone to the hospital because of her, even if everyone was okay now. Principal Gonzalez waved hello to his assistant and motioned for the two girls to sit down.
As I'm sure you're aware, yesterday's protest caused a lot of issues, he said. People were scared their kids would be stuck tiny. Parents were upset. My administration was upset. I was upset. The coconut water was yucky, and it did not help the reputation of upside-down magic in our school community.
Marigold hung her head. I'm sorry.
I know. But it was much too early to try a new skill out on human subjects. Much, much too early. He leaned forward. You're still learning, Marigold. You're both still learning. I understand how a mistake like this could happen, but it cannot happen again.
He cleared his throat.
You already know that students are not allowed to make other students invisible or levitate. That is a school rule. But as of today, I will be adopting a new policy to include shrinking. It will be called the No Alterations Policy. There will be no alterations of fellow students or teachers, including turning people invisible, levitating them, or shrinking them. All other magical alterations count as well. So, if you find yourself able to grow wings on people, or turn their arms to stone, or anything like that, it is forbidden here at Dunwiddle. For the safety of all students and teachers. Do you understand?
Marigold and Nori nodded.
Good, he said. And although I do not want to punish students for a peaceful protest, I do think there should be consequences for having used your magic on humans in a way that sent them to the hospital. Do you agree?
Yes, squeaked Marigold.
So, I would like you to do some community service in the library, said the principal. Mr. Wang has had some flaring issues in there recently, and he needs help with cleanup and with the general running of the library, sorting books and shelving and so forth. Marigold, you will go there during recess Monday through Thursday for the next 3 weeks, as a way of taking seriously the problems that your careless use of magic caused for this school.
Okay, said Marigold. She was actually relieved to have something to do. Do I have to do anything? Asked Nori.
The principal nodded. I signed you up for 4 days of helping Coach clean out the gym storage. Lots of old smelly uniforms and dirty balls of yarn in there. They could use organizing.
Nori sighed. All right, sounds fair. Marigold hesitated. And what about the dregs? She asked. Is there any way you would consider letting us bring them to school? I understand that they are disruptive, I really do. But they have also been really great for helping UDM kids feel included with the other kids.
She saw Nori's eyes widen.
Principal Gonzalez looked back and forth between them.
The dregs are extremely disruptive, but I do see your point. And I am willing to stand by the offer I made to you yesterday. Students can bring dregs to school every Friday to be taken out only during recess. Never in the classroom, never in the cafeteria, only in the yard on Fridays.
Really?
Nori squealed.
Marigold couldn't believe it.
Yes. In fact, that's why I gave you Fridays off from your community service recess jobs. However, all dregs should be kept in students' lockers and only hatched outside. Any dregs hatched inside a hallway or a classroom will be confiscated immediately and until the end of the year. Understood?
They both nodded.
Good. I'll make an announcement later today, and we'll send home an email. Now, back to class, kids.
They hurried out of his office. Nori squeezed Marigold's hand. Good job. I never would have asked him to stop the dregs ban after everything that happened. That was awesome. Marigold smiled. She'd have Friday recesses with Sparkle Puff and Tootsie. And the principal had met her 1/40th of the way there. Now that seemed pretty awesome.